They met when they were in a youth group as teenagers. Looks like it's going to work. Open your Bible with me to Psalm 18 this morning. Last year's edition of the publication entitled Unbelievable tells how Jamie Jaramillo, who's a wealthy businessman, was walking along the streets of Bogota, Colombia, when he saw a little girl, scurrying down into a manhole, hiding down there in the filthy sewers. Jaramillo followed the girl, discovered 90 orphan children living down there in that rat-infested sewer under Bogota, Colombia. Youngest victims of the Colombian quote-unquote dirty war, in which government forces fought it out daily in the streets against rebel gang members. And these guys were just ruthless. One gang member said, and I quote, "Killing these kids is like killing lice. We call them the disposables." Of course, Jamie was appalled by the situation, used his own money to build a home where these young children now live in a safe Christian community where they're loved, clothed, fed, and even given an education. He has literally changed the lives of thousands of children over the years. Like these poor kids, I think sometimes we feel like, and in fact we are, the world's castaways. We are beaten and abandoned, discouraged, and we want to hide also. But I'm afraid many of our number run to and hide in the cultural sewers of this world, where we're not cared for, we're not protected, we're not loved at all there. That only leads to more discouragement. We become the disposables. But others of us, hopefully those of us who are gathered here this morning, we run to the Lord. And in Him we do find love. We do find safety. We do find warmth. We do find acceptance. We do find our protection from the thugs of the world. We're no longer the disposables when we hide in the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about here this morning. We're in the middle of a sermon series in which we're asking the important question, what is God like? We know that's a question being asked by the culture around us. We know that's what they're feeding. We know that's what they're sensing. We know that at times that's the question we have in our heart. So consequently, we're seeking biblical answers to that question. We've discovered so far that as a brilliant inventor and a powerful king, God is no one to be taken lightly. But we've also discovered that as a caring shepherd and as a loving father, God is one we can seek and find a loving, personal, daily, intimate relationship with. This morning we're going to continue with that question, but the characteristic of God we want to look at this morning is that God is like a mighty fortress. Just like those street kids hiding in the sewers of Bogota, Colombia, we become frightened. We become like children rescued by Jamie Jaramillo. We find that God is our caring and powerful protector. And there's where we want to focus this morning. So, as our powerful protector, let's establish this. He hears us. Repeat after me. He hears me. Some of you are kind of trepid about that. After me, He hears me. You bet he does. Now, we're going to read the entire, not the entire 18th chapter, we're going to read the first 19 verses of the 18th chapter. But let's begin, skip around a bit. Let's begin with verses 4 through 6. This is David speaking. The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. Listen to this. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. You want to pause for just a moment and think about that? When you cry out to God in his heavenly temple, he hears you. Your cries reach the ears of the Lord God Almighty. I got to tell you, that's awesome. I really kind of expected you to jump up and shout, hoorah, at that time, but you haven't quite awakened yet. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, psalmist says, listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing. Pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for I pray to you. And he does. God does hear. Let me just point out three things that are so important as we try to grasp the reality of God hearing us. First, God hears us because he's real. It just seems sometimes we need to say that. Doesn't it? Especially in our culture. In our culture where there's so many quote-unquote intellects who kind of scoff at us in our naive beliefs. God's real. There really is a God. There really is a God. God hears us because he's real. You know, one of my favorite events in the Bible is documented in 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 18, beginning in verse 16, where we find this great prophet Elijah challenging 450 prophets of Baal. Now, you think about how many men that is. I'm sorry, they were chauvinists. There weren't any women prophets. 450 men, but he was also challenging along with them the 400 prophets of Asherah. 850 prophets. That's a whole lot of people. That's more people than we're going to have on campus here today. He challenged all 850 of these prophets to call out to Baal to come down and to consume their sacrifice. Now, let me walk you through this. Try to picture them. These men began shouting and tearing their clothes and crying out to Baal and dropping on their knees and falling on their face, calling out to Baal. A chorus of 850 men shouting and shouting and shouting and shouting. And somewhere during midday, I don't know where it was, nothing happened. And Elijah said, hey, maybe he's asleep. Maybe you ought to shout louder and wake him up. So they began shouting again. 850 men all day long they shouted out. Nothing happened. Do you know why nothing happened? Baal's not real. There is no Baal. That's why he didn't answer them. He's not real. Now keep up with me because I'm good fast here. Elijah said, take a break, guys. And you know, they had to appreciate that. They're worn out by this time. These guys are exhausted. They've been doing this from morning until evening. Hey, thanks, Elijah. We're going to go sit down under the juniper tree over here. Elijah piles up 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he covers those stones with a truckload of wood, and then he lays his sacrifice on top of the wood, and then he pours water, and he soaks the sacrifice, and he soaks all the wood. The wood's all waterlogged. He soaks the stones. He digs a trench around the sacrifice. He pours water on all that until the trench fills up with water, and then one time Elijah cries out to God, God, come down and consume your sacrifice. And God shouts, and fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice and consumes the wood, consumes the stones, consumes the ground, consumes the water. All the water that's in the trench is all licked up. God answered. Do you know why? Because God is real. When you pray to a real God, and it reaches his ears. It reaches his ears. Did I lose you in that? Now, I'm going to take a sidebar here, and if I go too long, you all are going to be too late for your grow group. This is why I'm an advocate of returning prayer to schools. Now, there's a little book called SALT you might want to read. Back in 1962, we took prayers out of schools, and the nation has collapsed since then. I'm in favor of returning prayer to schools. But some of my scholarly preacher friends say, Washburn, if you do that, if you pray in school, you got to let the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims all pray too. You got to let them pray too. You know what my attitude is? Let them pray. Go ahead and let them pray. Let them pray to their God. We'll pray to our God, and our God will win. Because why? Our God is real. Their gods are not. Their gods are not. Calm down. God hears us because he's real. Second reason, God hears us because he's listening. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. He's always listening. You ever talk with someone, you get the idea they're not listening to you? You ever in the midst of talking to somebody and you get the idea they're bored? You know, they're looking away, they're watching other things going on around you, they're looking at you, they're looking at their watch, you know. God's not like that. Whenever you speak, God's attention is riveted on you. God hears you because he's real and because he's listening to you. Whenever you speak, God's listening. Here's the third thing. God hears us because we're his kids. You're his kid. One of our favorite places to go out to eat is Cracker Barrel. Now, don't flock to Cracker Barrel just because I said that. But one of our favorite places to eat is Cracker Barrel. We just like the ambience there. And so a week or so, 2 weeks ago, they seated Linda and me at one of those little tables along the lattice work that has all the pictures of the folks, you know, on it. And so it's just enough room there for one person on this side and one person on that side. Then right behind, Linda was facing away from the window, I'm facing the window. Right behind us there's a table along the window behind Linda. She can't see, but I can. And there's a mother and daughter sitting there. And all I can say is this, that girl, that daughter had a lot to say. You know, she had a lot to say. She never ate her food, you know why? She couldn't stop talking. She talked and 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 talked. You know, at one point, I hadn't said anything about it, but Linda's saying, who is that behind me? That person is not taking a breath. I said, yeah, and she hadn't taken a piece of food either. I said, that's a mother and a daughter, and the daughter's talking. And the mom's listening. But here's the thing. That girl never stopped talking, teenage girl. That mom never stopped listening. She was never distracted. Her eyes never wandered. The expression in her face as she watched that girl, as she just adored that girl. That was her daughter, and that girl was the apple of her eye. She never stopped listening. When you pray, God's listening to you because you're His kid. You're His son. You're His daughter. He loves you, and He's listening to you. His attention never wavers and never wanders. Isn't that a great thing? That's your God. It's not because you're a great prayer warrior, you may be, but it's because you've got a great God who hears you. Here's another thing. He helps us. Our mighty fortress helps us. Okay, repeat after me. He helps me. God helps me. I guess I'm still thinking here about those kids living in the sewers out of fear of the deadly gangs in Bogota. It angered Jamie Jaramillo when he saw that. And he came to their rescue. He delivered them. That's what motivated him, was Jamie rallied. He did something about it. Let's go back to Psalm 18 and pick up here in verse 7. This is how God rallies when you pray, when He hears you, when He listens to you. This is how God responds, beginning of verse 7. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundation of the mountains trembled. They shook because He burned with anger. Smoke rose from His nostrils, and consuming fire came down from His mouth. Coals were set ablaze by it. He parted the heavens and came down, a dark cloud beneath His feet. He rode on a cherubim and flew, soaring on wings of the wind. He made darkness His hiding place, dark storm clouds His canopy around Him. From the radiance of His presence, the clouds swept onward with hail and blazing coals. What an image. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High projected His voice. He shot His arrows and scattered them. He hurled lightning bolts and routed them. The depths of the sea became visible. The foundations of the world were exposed at Your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of Your mouth, of Your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He pulled me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my distress, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out to a wide open place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Isn't that awesome? Again, that's God does that. It's because He's God. It's because He's God. A wonderful picture of how our mighty God rallies our defense. And do you see where in that last line why He rallies to our defense? It's all because He delights in us. That's why. I cut this out of a magazine a couple of years ago. There are similar accounts. I don't know who wrote this. When I cut it out, I didn't cut the author out, but I want to just read it to you because I think we all can relate to it. It's a beautiful word picture. I finished up my business at the bank and headed for the car. My little Sarah was with me. She's just 4 and filled with energy and boundless enthusiasm. She raced toward the entrance. She began to push against the large glass door, but it wouldn't budge. By the time I caught up to her, she was puffing and struggling to get it open. I placed my hand on the door and gently pushed. She gave one last shove, and it opened. "I did it," she boasted. I chuckled. She was unaware it was my hand that had actually moved the heavy door. You ever wonder, you have to kind of stop and consider and ponder, you ever wonder how many doors God's opened for you? You ever look back and consider how many enemies God has stopped or defeated for you? You ever stop and consider how many catastrophes he's delivered you from? How many illnesses from which he's healed you? You ever look back and think about these things? You remember that time you were so discouraged, you were so browbeaten, you were so hopeless, and then without much explanation, you just kind of came out of that. Do you remember that time? Oh, you thought it was you. You thought it was you, right? No, it wasn't you. That was God. God did that. God did that. The thugs of life, the gangs of life were beating on you and driving you down. To them, you're disposable. You're a throwaway. But it angered God. God intervened on your behalf, and God helped you. It was God. It wasn't you. As our mighty fortress, one last thing, he hides us. Repeat after me, he hides me. Now think about that for just a minute. Say it again, he hides me. Now I've saved the first three verses for last because it's in these first three verses that David most beautifully describes God as our mighty fortress. Follow along with me here, beginning in verse 1. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. You notice the metaphors he uses there? Look at all the words David uses to describe God. Strength, rock, fortress, deliverer, mountain, shield, salvation, stronghold. And notice too that each one of them is preceded by the first person possessive pronoun, my. My, these are all my fortress, my strength, my rock, my deliverer, my mountain, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. One of the most important and comforting understandings of God is he's my fortress, and he hides me. I'm not going to share this with the next crowd. They're too young to appreciate it, but after being exposed, completely exposed through my entire tour in Vietnam, my last 2 weeks, I was taken back to the rear, and they wanted to keep me safe before I rotated home. And in order to keep me safe, they hid me and some others in an underground bunker. I mean, the war continued to rage out there. But I was safe as a bug in a rug in that bunker. I mean, I slept like a baby. Probably for the first time in a long time, I slept like a baby, hidden in that bunker. A few years ago, Hurricane Charley brought forced destruction to Fort Myers, Florida. During the storm, 25-year-old Danny Williams went outside to seek protection under the branches of a 55-year-old banyan tree in his yard. We don't have banyan trees here, but apparently they have a wide canopy of strong branches. This was his favorite meditation place out there under the tree. It was in his childhood yard. It was his favorite be alone place. He'd done that since he was a kid. And he'd also hidden there during storms before, and this big banyan tree had always protected him. But when Hurricane Charley hit, something about that storm, it hit that banyan tree pretty hard, and Charley was hiding underneath it. And this banyan tree that may have weighed a couple tons by this point broke and fell and crushed him. Crushed him. You know, he picked the wrong hiding place. Sometimes, even if we've hidden there before in our favorite meditation place or our favorite go-to place, it may take the form of a medication, it may take the form of a person, it may take the form of a place. We can pick the wrong hiding place and life will crush us. You know what the right hiding place is? God. It's always been God. It'll always be God. God will never break. God will never crush. God will never disappoint. God will never let us down. God will always cover us with his feathers. Psalm 91. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High God dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. Where do you hide from the thugs of life? Do you have a hiding place? I suggest you make it God. You know, in the life of the one who longs to follow Jesus, there must come a time of brokenness. There must come this crushing time, this time in life, as with all the characters in the Bible, this time of refining, this time of being broken down, this time of losing all of our own strength and all of our own will, and find ourselves flat on our face and having a need for someone, anyone, somebody to protect me, somebody to hide me, somebody to cover me. And God says, here I am. Here I am. I'll do it. Child of mine, I'll do it. In that brokenness, turning and hiding in the Lord. When the storms of life hit, it's safe to hide in the Lord. Do you remember these words? We don't hear them much anymore. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. Oh, friend, God alone is our mighty fortress. Pray with me.